is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 30th of October. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Minnie Mouse's best friend, Amanda Flanders.
I get Minnie Mouse's best friend.
Yeah.
Jules gets stonkingly gorgeous.
Yeah.
Bird gets beautiful. I get Minnie Mouse's best friend.
You are Minnie Mouse's best friend. Yeah, you got the best one ever.
Thanks. Hi.
That's all right. I won't even talk about the wardrobe.
No, don't talk about the wardrobe.
No, I won't. I will. You're right.
I'm fine.
Cool.
It's a bit tired.
Yeah, I made her get up and come and co-host the show because Bird's not here.
Bird, it's all your fault.
Yeah, I think Bird's gone to Rwanda or something. I'm not sure. But there you go. Anyway, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's lovely to be back. A huge, huge thank you to Laura Lawrence and Martin White, who stood in on show number 400 last week.
It was show 400 last week?
It was show number 400.
And you missed it.
And I missed it. I went on holiday.
Yeah.
My first holiday in 10 years. Yeah. It was good, though.
It was very good, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah. And a huge thank you to Laura and to Martin. We did, in fact, listen in, didn't we, while we were having breakfast in Denny's on International Drive.
Yes.
So we were eating pancakes while you were waffling away on show. Do you see what I did there, waffling away?
Nice,
on show number 400, yeah. I'm actually quite excited about doing show number 404.
Why?
Well, when I put it up, everybody's going to go, oh, it's 404, can't listen to that.
Why?
Page 404.
No.
Page missing error. Sure. Oh, she's not techie, is she?
No. Missed that one completely.
Never mind. Anyway, hey, listen, we're back and we're all excited and we've got a great lineup of guests to talk to you today. But we'd like to hear from you. All the businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford 01233 220035. If you are going to call, it's probably best to tweet me to let me know first, because the light flashes in the studio and I never see it. Loads of people ring in and I never answer the phone. So tweet or text or something to say you're going to call and then I'll know. But you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us really and interact with us live on air is to tweet me, and you can tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker, and then we can find you and we can talk to you. We have had a few tweets and we have had some emails and stuff like that. So I'll tell you what, we'll kick off with something, and I'll leave it up to you, Amanda. You can choose what you'd like to do first. You can read a tweet or you can read an email.
Because everyone's believing that you're giving me the choice and I haven't given you the choice.
True.
Like, Amanda's in the studio, watch out. We got a tweet from the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Sirkin. Jules, when was this picture taken? Because I have to say, you're all looking extremely gorgeous and young in it. There's Hax, there's Jules, and there's Andrea Barker. And it looks like it was taken about 20 years ago.
She normally puts ones up. She used to be a John Player Lotus girl in about 1904 or something, just after the invention of the motor car. And she normally puts those pictures up, to be honest.
Well, to be fair, if Hax and Andrea weren't in this picture, I would have thought it was a picture from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Jules, because it's a lovely picture.
Is it?
But she's,
yeah. They got her right side then, yeah. Did they? Oh, that was lucky.
They're reminding us, Jules is reminding us, that this Friday is the next slope off.
All right, okay.
Final days to reserve your lunch at Herne Bay with hosts Kent_BA and Occasional Carp. 2 p.m. Friday for Slope Off Friday. Go and check that out. Follow Jules or at Slope Off Friday on the Twitter to book that on. They normally have Slope Off lunch. They leave at 2 o'clock and keep going until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely. And then ring me to come and pick them up.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Rowena Horton. And she says, could I have a Business Bunker shout-out, please, for Saturday, November the 3rd? That will be this Saturday, won't it?
It
Hashtag The Wine Lady is hosting a cheese and wine evening, which starts at 8 p.m, and it's at the Seabrook House Hotel in Hythe. And you can find out about it by going to her website, which is discoverthevine.co.uk/courses. So that's Saturday, November the 3rd at the Seabrook House Hotel, wine tasting with Rowena Horton.
She does very good wine tastings, Rowena. She
apparently
knows her stuff.
Apparently,
she does, definitely. I would like to give a big shout out to the lovely Lucy Hall from Aviso Media, because last night she hosted the first ever Social Media Marketing Awards, and she hosted them up in London. And by the looks of all the pictures, it went very, very well.
I saw VidBuild won an award, which was brilliant. So congratulations to VidBuild.
Best visual content creator on social media. So, brilliant. Because Lucy runs Social Day, and she's also running an event on the 19th of November, which is Kickstart Social Digital, which is at... Where is it? At Buckmore Park.
At Buckmore Park, on the cart circuit, yeah.
But last night she hosted the first ever social media awards, and it was brilliant by the looks of it.
Fantastic. What else have we got here? Athel Bray.
Athel Bray, yeah, the baby.
They've. It says Vanillaware Butterflies, that's Amanda, Business Bunker. Please can we have a massive shout out for our daughter Fran and her hubby Ben, who have presented us with our first grandchild on Friday. Welcome to Connor, John, Anthony, Cheney. She said there's not much work being done this week because we're all having cuddles.
Yeah, I bet.
Looks gorgeous, isn't he? Welcome, Connor. Welcome to the world.
A new listener for the bunker.
Absolutely, yeah. So congratulations to everybody involved. It's lovely having your first grandson. Cool.
Should I do an email?
Yeah, go for it.
If I can read. Let's see. Join us at Kent Space. So we here are in Kent Space in Ashford, but on Wednesday 31st, which is Halloween.
Spooky.
Kent Space are hosting a networking event from 5:30 p.m. And they have the speaker for the evening is Joe James, the Chief Executive of Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. Joe will be talking about the exciting economic developments happening in Ashford and Kent, as well as taking questions on the night. Drinks and nibbles will be provided. It doesn't say whether it has to be fancy dress or not. I reckon you should make it fancy dress as it is Halloween.
Yeah.
What?
The fact that we expect it to be fancy dress, we've kind of forgotten the fact that we're back in England now. Yeah. Amanda and I just spent a week in Disney, which has been absolutely mad, because people there dress up at the best of times just to visit the park. And because it's Halloween as well, the sights were unbelievable, some of the things that we've seen. What any of them had to do with either Disney or Halloween is beyond me. But people turned up by the truckload dressed as all kinds of things, did they not?
They did, and that was just in the Disney parks.
And that was just during the day, yeah.
Yes. Yes, but if you fancy a bit of that networking, if you give them a quick email here, vt@kentspace.co.uk, and you can come along to that. It's free, and you get drinks and nibbles, so that's worth going to.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a bit of a budget yesterday. I haven't really caught up with it because we only arrived back in the country yesterday, so I haven't really caught up with it. I've seen a few people moaning as normal and a few people going, hooray, hooray.
I thought there were some good things they did.
Yeah, apparently.
you haven't had a look yet.
You know, but it's like anything, isn't it? They give it with one hand and then take it back with the other surreptitiously. I saw somebody said something that they'd introduce some kind of digital tax, which is stupid.
For big tech companies, isn't it?
Which is utterly stupid. And people celebrating that don't seem to realise it's them that's going to pay it, not the tech companies. But there you go. It's, you know, plus or orange, it's always the same. But they give some and take some back. Apparently, I read an analysis that said, despite all the things that they gave away, they actually managed to raise more tax again.
Yeah.
By, you know, doing it underhand, basically, by putting it in places that you don't expect it to be, kind of thing.
Isn't that what they always do, though?
Yep. Anyway.
Is that your rant for the morning?
Well, kind of, because I haven't had a chance to read it. I haven't had a good full rant about it yet.
Watch out next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the jet lag.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
Yeah. Should we introduce our guests so people know who's in the studio today?
You can do that. If
well,
you,
can you
if
do
you
that?
Like.
Because I can't remember the name.
No, I just see that. I knew. That's why.
Okay,
yes.
Then they can talk if they want to as well, can't they?
They can. Of course they can. They can join in if they can get a word in their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've got a great lineup of guests. We're going to hear, first of all, later on in the show, from Jane Abbott. And Jane is Clinical Director at Benenden Hospital. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
She is... joined by Jamie Cheshire, but I don't think Jamie's going to say a lot, but he can if he wants. But for the moment, you can say hello at least, Jamie.
Hi there. All right.
Cool. Thank you. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to hear from Dr. Steve Trim of Venom Tech, the scientist with luscious hair. I do like that. I do like that. I can't get away from that. I really can't. I haven't said it for a while, though.
No, this is true.
Yeah, I haven't said it for a while, but Steve belongs to a genuine organisation called
real.
Scientists with Luscious Hair.
Is that true? I can say hear him say it all the time. I didn't know actually it was true.
It's the luxuriant flowing hair club for scientists, and it's run out of Harvard in US.
Okay.
It's real.
It's real.
Okay.
See, people never believe me. They go,
photos and everything.
Yeah, no, people keep going, stop doing that joke. It's not even funny. And I'm not. It's real. And I mean, don't be stupid. No, really, it's real. Anyway, we're going to hear from Steve. And Steve's going to be talking to us about... Steve is chief executive of Venatec. And he's a microbiologist. And he's going to be talking to us briefly about that. But we've got some really important stuff to talk to Steve about. That involves my tummy.
Your tummy.
My tummy, yeah, because Steve is launching some of Steve's sauce specifically for Halloween. But we'll leave that to the second part
we'll
of the show.
Later, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in depth. I'll tell you what, Amanda, you can read, and this is entirely your choice, a tweet or an email.
Let's do an email then. Dragon Co-working. So Roland is putting together a load more.
Careful with this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to read that one. I'm going to read the other one. then the next one coming up at Dragon's Co-working at the St. George Hotel in Chatham is the Dragon's 10, which is the focus is lead generation. So Roland has got 10 business owners, speakers lined up who will be giving 10 minutes of advice on not just how to generate leads, but how to effectively turn them into business. Now, the Dragon events are always worth going to, always get good attendance. But this is on Thursday. So if you haven't booked on already, go to dragoncoworking.co.uk. It's from 6:30 p.m. and it's just £10. So, and I think you haven't got it on here. I'm sure at 5 o'clock, he's got something else going on before. Dragon Bites, so you can eat.
Yeah, no, there's another email about that.
Oh, have you got that?
Yeah.
You split them up. Just to be confusing.
Yeah. I gave you the nasty one to read.
Yeah. Well, it's failure nights. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So he says it in brackets for radio. So failure nights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is on the 16th of November.
What is?
Another, the failure night.
Oh, the failure night.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't say the other word.
Hmm.
Earlier in this year, Roland ran the first failure night, and the second one is coming up on the 16th of November from 7 p.m. After the great success of Volume 1, Volume 2 will be even bigger and better. We have another 4 great speakers all willing to share their business failure experience. And it's really good. I'm not so sure on the name, Roland, but I do like the concept of people sharing their failure stories, because it's all good to be positive and we always want to be positive about business, but sometimes it's nice to hear people's failures so you know that we're all human and things go wrong. So his 4 speakers are Tony Burke from Chimps and Dicks.
start again.
I can never get your company name right, Tony. Tony Burke from Chimps.
Is that why?
Chimps and Dinks. There we go. There's an obvious failure there, just to prove that I can fail too.
Yeah. I'm surprised you can't get the company name right. You use it often enough.
I do. Tony, I need you again soon, actually.
Yeah, she's dented the car again.
I have.
Mm.
Tom Lawrence from Art Sparks, Andrea Barker confidence coach, and Sean Murphy from Storm Chasers. So a great mix, a great evening, and they have gourmet hot dogs, live bands, drinks included, and they also have a sponsorship available if you want to sponsor the evening. So again, dragoncoworking.co.uk for more details. Chips and Dinks. There we go.
You sure about that? We went to the first one, didn't we? It was brilliant. It was really good fun. It really was good fun, yeah. Some great stuff there. And they had a bit of an open mic as well, didn't they, at the end?
They did.
Mm. I just want to say a thank you to Caxton FX. I bought one of these prepaid cards, credit cards, to use on holiday from Caxton FX, and it was brilliant. Despite my best efforts to screw it up... it worked really well, and their customer service was brilliant. They were really brilliant. They answered all my questions straight away on Twitter as soon as I had problems with everything, and it worked really well. It was good.
See, I didn't have any problems with mine. I was fine.
Mm. But so it was good. So huge shout out to Caxton FX. Brilliant. Fantastic. Do you know what?
What?
I'm going to read one more tweet. Just had a tweet from Karen Ortiz, and she says, Paul, you've given me so many tweets after the last few weeks, I'm going to donate this tweet to somebody else.
Fair enough, Karen.
There you go. Thank you, Karen. Karen's got an event that's going to be happening in Fruitworks later on in... I think it's in January, actually. And it's on SEO and stuff like that. And she's doing it in association with the charity organisation Street Soccer, who are... doing great things with the homeless, young homeless people. And Street Soccer, I noticed this morning, have just signed another Premiership club to help them. Manchester City have now joined as well.
Fantastic.
They join Man United and Gillingham and West Ham as supporters of that, of Street Soccer. I am waiting for the video to come out, my video.
I didn't think it was out till December.
No. They saved the best till last, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Keith's just won an award as well, hasn't he?
He has indeed, yeah. He was on the Roll of Honour, yeah.
Yeah, well done, Keith.
Yeah, so that's Keith Mabbott, who's the founder of Street Soccer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. So, I'll tell you what, we're going to play some cheesy tunage.
Oh, God.
Yeah?
What cheesy tunage have you got?
Well, what do you reckon? It's a bit 1980s for you, isn't it, really?
It's a bit old for me.
It's Thomas and Twins.
Yeah.
The intro's a bit long before they get round to the title.
I saw you.
It's
there.
Doctor Doctor.
Okay.
Get it?
Just
get it?
There. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then. And then once again.
Yeah. My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. phoenixanalystslimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly, gorgeously, lovely, amazing Amanda Flanders, friend of Minnie Mouse.
Thank you.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Can I tell them about the cupboard now?
If you must.
Asleep.
If you can say it. Yeah. Can you say it without laughing? Can
yeah, I'll try. It was fast asleep. It must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up and I sneezed really loudly. And she shot out of bed and went, oh, my God. She thought Lucy, her daughter, had fallen out of bed. She shot out of bed, went running across the bed into the cupboard. I had to go and get her out. It's not a door, Amanda. It's a cupboard. And I sneezed.
I was sound asleep.
She was sound asleep. It's hilarious.
Because every time he sneezed after that, there was a comment like,
both
mind
of us.
The cupboard.
Lucy and I both went, mind the cupboard. Oh,
thanks
dear.
For that.
That's all right. It did make us laugh. I've had a tweet from Maidstone Daily Press. And they say, can you help? Maidstone Grammar School are trying to access funding for a new library. It's quick and it's simple to register and vote for this project using a link that they've sent. And it's part of the Aviva Community Fund that they're going after. And they say, please, can you support them by voting for them? And you can do that by going to Fund Aviva. That's the insurance company, Aviva. fundaviva.co.uk/voting. And vote for Maidstone Grammar School.
Cool. I found the tweet from me now, Barry.
Cool.
Barry and John. It says, can we have a quick shout out for Community Drive School, please? We are partnering with them so their students can be notified when their instructor has a spare lesson available, helping students get their driving licence sooner. And Community Drive School, helping the low-waged and unemployed with sponsored driving lessons. We're always seeking sponsorship from individuals and businesses. Oh, well done to them. So well done to me now, who are supporting them with their community. So it's at Community DRI. SHCH. Did you like that bit at the end there?
Reading out Twitter stuff's always funny, isn't it? Cool. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, so well done, Barry.
Community Drive School, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Do you think they have black boxes as well?
Probably not, no. Don't well, you're just going to air all of my failures on the show today, are you?
No.
No.
Okay.
Moving on.
I've had a tweet from Natasha Sutton, a Split Second Events, and she says, have a great show, and to all on the Business Bunker, a round of applause for the show that does so much for the community and businesses. Well, thank you, Natasha. That's very kind of you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Apparently, she used to be called Tigger, too.
Did you?
Hmm.
Well, she is a bit springy. You are a bit springy, Natasha.
Yeah.
That's bouncy.
Bouncy, yeah.
Bouncy.
Cool. I've had this tweet. No, it's an email, actually. and it says, "Hi, Paul, I just wondered whether you could mention our event on your show, please. I will be celebrating 20 years in business in November, and I've organised a charity music show for Cancer Research UK. All proceeds will go to the charity. It was my mum who started me cooking." This is from Jane Bevan, and she runs Primrose Fair, which is a catering company. It was my mum who started me cooking from an early age, but unfortunately she passed away when I was only 15. And so the show will be dedicated to her memory, and it's taking place this Saturday, the 3rd of November, at 5:45 until 9 p.m. Now, this is spooky, yeah, because I got an autocorrect here that said it's taking place at Pastry Village Hall. And it's not taking place at Pastry Village Hall at all. It's Eastry Village Hall. But the autocorrect made it Pastry.
Fair enough.
How sweet is that? So Eastry Village Hall, and that's from Jane Bevan, and she's from Primrose Fair. And you can find out about it if you want by emailing Jane at Primrose Fair. That's spelled F-A-Y-R-E, Primrose Fair at Outlook.com. Fantastic.
Good stuff.
Good. What you got?
I have a tweet from Grow Kent B2B. Mm-hmm. "Do you struggle to get the success you want from your marketing? This four-hour masterclass with Barnaby Winter and Warren Cass will show you powerful strategies to achieve more. It's on Wednesday, the 28th of November, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Maidstone, I believe, at the Mercure Great Danes. Transform your marketing." Sounds really good. Barnaby is fantastic. He knows his stuff when it comes to marketing. And I've heard Warren Cass speak before as well. And he was really good.
He's so good, isn't he? Yeah.
Check that out.
And so is Barnaby, the brand bucket. It's brilliant.
Yes, very much.
Always
so.
Controversial.
Yes, we do like a bit of Barnaby. Barnaby has been described as Marmite.
Has he?
Yeah.
I like Marmite.
Yeah, me too. but it's worth checking out. If you go to, I guess their website, growkent.co.uk,
growkent.co.uk. There is actually an email about it somewhere here as well.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. I just had a tweet from Street Soccer, following up on what we were saying earlier. I said, "Our management team had a brilliant meeting yesterday with the CEO of Manchester City in the community arm of Manchester City Football Club, to discuss partnerships and collaboration to effect genuine positive social change for those who are homeless and at risk of being homeless. More news to follow." So well done, Keith, and
well
the
done,
team. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. There's another charity event taking place soon. Oh, that one's gone. There's a music extravaganza on behalf of We Are Beams, which is a charity. And We Are Beams is a charity that helps families with disabled access and disabled children. And it's an event. This is a music extravaganza. It's an event for all the family. We will involve the local community to enjoy the Hextable Wind Band, who will be performing songs from the seasons with a Christmas finale. There'll be mulled wine, hot chocolate and mince pies on offer. And it's taking place at St. Peter's and St. Paul's Church, Hextable, on Friday the 14th of December, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. There'll be a charity raffle and orchard. Yeah, they're going to grow apples. Of course they are. A charity raffle and auction, even. There's full disabled access. It's open to all ages. And it's all to support disabled children with the We Are Beams charity. And they're a local Kent-based charity. If you want to book this, it's eventbrite.co.uk/Beams Christmas Music Extravaganza. Or you can email fundraising at wearebeams.org.uk. Fundraising at wearebeams.org.uk.
Did you say it was wind music?
Yeah, it's wind band.
They'll be having their Brussels sprouts beforehand. Couldn't resist that one, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Cool, good. Do you know what?
Wow.
I think it's about time we introduce some decorum, common sense, and some interesting people
interesting
to the show.
People. Yes, stop sharing stories about me in cupboards.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to talk about that
I'm
any
glad
longer.
I was at least here to defend myself today, otherwise it could have got a lot worse, I believe.
It could have got severely out of hand, yeah. Yeah, I have been known to elaborate on certain things.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, outside of that, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker show, Jane Abbott. Hello, Jane. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's lovely to be here, Paul. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Jane, you're a clinical director at Benenden Hospital.
Yes, well, I'm actually the hospital director for Benenden Hospital, but that's a bit of a mouthful, and also the chief nurse for Benenden Healthcare Society. So
blimey.
A national role as well as a local role.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is It's interesting because local people, I live just around the corner from the hospital, as it happens. I live in Tenston. But the hospital's been there quite a long time, and for ages people kind of just ignored it. And there was all these people thought they knew what it was, but really didn't pay a lot of attention. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of Benenden first, and then kind of where you are now?
Yes, well, we opened originally in 1907 as a tuberculosis sanatorium, hence the fact that we've got many acres of land around us to create that really wonderful therapeutic environment for those patients.
I think that's when Jules was born there in 1907. Yeah, I think they opened it then for that.
And we're the only hospital that's owned by Benenden Healthcare Society, although they have others that they use across the United Kingdom. So we were a tuberculosis sanatorium for many, many decades. And obviously we preceded the NHS.
Of course, yeah.
So, and it was a very innovative, entrepreneurial gentleman called Charles Garland, who identified that amongst post office workers, there was quite a high incidence of tuberculosis.
Right, okay.
No healthcare, obviously, available at that time. So he managed to persuade bosses to buy an area of land and build a hospital. And he managed to persuade the post office workers to all pay a small amount each week that would go into a pot that would allow the money to be sort of secured so that as and when people needed to go into the hospital to have their tuberculosis care, the money was there to fund it.
So it's kind of like an early Providence Society.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So a phenomenal idea, and all credit to the people who took it forward.
Okay, because I think I'm right in saying that as time unfolded, it became a civil service union kind of hospital, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
But I just wonder why so many postmen suffered with TB. Did anybody ever get to the bottom of that?
Oh, well, this is a little bit gross, so I do apologise to anyone listening. So it was obviously in those days they had the Hessian sacks, and what was reported was that in those days, again, people used to do a lot of spitting on the floor, and the Hessian sacks would get the spit and people would handle it and that's how it would all be shared amongst the post office community, shall we say.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm pointing at Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
It was him. I saw him do it. But Steve, who we're going to hear from later, is a microbiologist. But when you look at the history of health, things like that, I was... a few weeks ago, I was meeting my youngest son at a restaurant in Soho, and I don't know if you know, but Soho was the source of a massive outbreak. I think it was cholera. It was a cholera outbreak at the beginning of the 20th century, in which hundreds and hundreds of people died. And there was the doctors of the day were all blaming this, that and the other, humours in the air and stuff. And there was some amateur guy that said, I think you'll find it's the water. Yeah. And everybody went, no, don't be ridiculous. And he actually isolated the hand pump in Soho that was the source of this cholera infection. And the medical profession at the time went, no, you're talking nonsense, because there was no way of proving it. But when he deliberately concreted it up, and of course everything stopped happening, and people went, blimey, that's weird. So some of these things are quite weird.
They are, but it was really positive that somebody identified it and wanted to do something about it, and so Benenden Hospital was born all those years ago.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And it took someone doing that and pulling that off to make it happen. So and that was in 1907, say, that they built the hospital as a sanatorium.
Yes.
Which kind of is a recovery hospital, really, for the most part.
Yes, I mean, people in those days, people went there, and the area was chosen because of all the land and the fresh air and working the fields.
In the country.
Absolutely. Can I ask you a question, Paul?
Yeah, of course you can.
Can I ask you, how long do you think our longest patient might have stayed in the hospital at that time, when it was a TB sanatorium?
Oh, blimey. That could be interesting, couldn't it? 5 years.
Amanda?
Would depend whether they lived or not, isn't it? 10 years.
Yeah. It was a cadaver, and they forgot to shift it out. Yeah, yeah. They found it under a Hessian sack, and nobody wanted to touch the sack. Basically, no, sorry. Yeah.
Actually, Amanda wins the prize because it was over 11 years that somebody was in the hospital.
Wow.
Sadly, they died.
Right.
But, well, I wasn't wrong there.
But they lived for 11 years that they weren't expected to live for.
Yeah.
Because of the environment that they were taken into.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's good.
So, how did the hospital develop from there? Presumably, at some point, it moved away from just being a respite care sanatorium into a more general kind of hospital.
Yes, I think with the birth of the NHS, which is obviously 70 years old this year, I think people thought that Benenden would sort of disappear into the ether, but it didn't. Also, treatment for TB started to improve, so less need for hospitalisation. So we started doing chest surgery, and then that gradually grew into doing more types of surgery, more types of medical cases. And now we've evolved into primarily being an elective surgical hospital.
Right.
With some medical outpatients and consultation and diagnostics. But so we last year did about 8,000 operations or so on people, and about 47,000 people came for outpatient appointments.
Wow.
So we're quite a busy hospital now.
Absolutely. We're kind of developed that. I just, not a lot of people know. I don't know why I know this. I probably got into an argument with someone politically and went and researched it. But prior to the establishment of the NHS, we actually had more hospitals in this country than we have now. And what most people don't know is that most hospitals prior to the NHS were run by local authorities.
Yes, they were. Absolutely right.
You know, people just assumed that nobody got treated for anything, but that wasn't actually true.
Absolutely right.
Cool. So I haven't been to Benenden through the village or the hospital for a little while, but the last time I went through was about 7 or 8 months ago. You've done a lot of work there as well over the years.
Yes.
So tell us how the hospital's developed in the last few years.
I think it's fair to say that we were starting to look a little bit tired, a little bit jaded with our facilities, and as with many hospitals, you add bits on as services change and develop, but things then aren't in quite the right place to make the patient flows work well. So we did a business case, and we were very lucky to get the funding from Benenden Healthcare Society, and we started the project in May 2014, and we finished the project in October last year.
Wow.
So 3.5 years working out of a building site, which is no mean feat. I can tell you, I've got the most amazing pink hard hat and boots and everything else, but we've virtually rebuilt the hospital with all our new facilities.
And I was going to say, it looks very modern now.
Well, I think what we've tried to do is make it sort of state-of-the-art and very modern, but also respect our history and our heritage. And we've got things like our foundation stone that was laid in 1906 is in our restaurant and is absolutely beautiful. And for me, that history is so important, because that's why we're there today. And we're sort of laying the legacy now for the people who are there in 20 years' time, when it's not me and others.
Absolutely. Could you just tell us a little bit about the structure of how it works? Because you made mention of the Benenden Trust, which I'm assuming is a slightly different organisation. So tell us how that works.
So we have Benenden Healthcare Society, as it's called now. It used to have many other names. And basically, that's the sort of the parent body. So people can join Benenden. So anyone can join the Benenden
Healthcare. So presumably that's a charitable trust.
Well, no.
No.
So
okay.
It's a membership organisation.
Okay,
so people join and pay currently £10.25 a month.
Okay.
And that gives them access to a range of healthcare services, which includes access to Benenden Hospital and what we do. So we don't do everything. We can't do everything. So
we don't
do things like cancers and heart surgery and stuff like that, but we do a range of sort of routine elective activities, and through your membership you also get access to services like access to a GP 24 hours every day of the week. You get access to an independent care advisory service, so you get many other benefits other than just healthcare services.
Okay.
But I think what you mainly get is peace of mind.
Sure.
That actually, if you've got a healthcare problem and maybe the NHS isn't able to help you, then you can come to us and we provide a discretionary service. So we don't always say yes, but we try to help people when we can.
Okay, cool. And what you're saying, that was £10 a week?
£10.25 a month.
A month?
Yes.
Blimey.
Which is why we have to limit what we do.
Yeah.
And why we're also not a private medical insurance. We're sort of an affordable alternative
absolutely.
To what we do there.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
So does that mean that there's only certain conditions that you cover, or very specific areas?
We cover a range of medical specialties and surgical specialties, from cardiology, dermatology, endocrinology, lots of ologies, gynaecology, urology, orthopaedics. So,
luscious hair.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we could develop that service.
Good.
Yeah, we could help you as well, Paul. So we do consultations for a whole load of services, loads of diagnostics and surgery for a specific list. So we do what we do well, and it's mainly sort of day case or overnight stay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you have this membership-based, I call it like a Providence Society. Okay, so that's cool. And the hospital itself belongs to that
Yes,
society.
So the hospital is the only hospital that Benenden Healthcare owns.
And, right, okay.
But they use other hospitals for people who live elsewhere.
I see, okay.
And we have about 815,000 members across the UK.
Wow.
But as you referred earlier to the sort of civil service, etc. Mm. So about half of the people who subscribe to Benenden live in London and the South East.
Right.
So we have about sort of 380,000 people who could potentially come to the hospital.
Okay. And do because once upon a time it was part of a civil service union.
Yes.
Benefits, yeah, for being a union member.
It was.
Does that still exist? Are there still members that were in that scheme originally?
Oh, I mean, there's a lady that I was, I got to know a few years ago who was over 90, who'd been a Benenden member since she'd left school at the age of 16, who'd never used the services, but just felt it was her way of giving to others.
Right.
You've talked about a number of times about charitable events. Well, this was her idea of, you know, doing a sort of almost charitable donation to help other people.
Right.
So she wanted to be a member, she wanted to have peace of mind, but she equally hoped she wouldn't need to use us.
Right, okay.
So, amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
very
really
good.
Brilliant. So, nowadays, as you say, it's open to anybody to join as a member. You've got nearly a million members. Mm. What are your plans? You've built this fantastic place. For those that don't know Benenden, Benenden's a gorgeous village. Yeah. It's probably better known for the school that's there. There's a private school, a girls' school in Benenden, which is where Princess Anne went, I think.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
The village is normally known for that more than anything. But you're only round a corner from the school, aren't you? But it's a gorgeous village in a lovely, and the hospital's set in a very lovely location. What are your plans? Where are you going with it?
Well, our plans are to get bigger, really. So we currently obviously look after Benenden members, but we also look after NHS patients who come to us and people who pay to come to the hospital. So we want to develop that activity. We were fortunate enough to get an outstanding rating from the Care Quality Commission. Mm. So that was amazing. Well, and that happened to us. We were on a building site, but we can't be complacent and we want to build on that and retain that. Mm. We want to make sure our staff are the best they can be. And we currently have Investors in People Silver Award, so we're going for gold.
Wow,
next time we go to be accredited in 3 years' time, we want to get the gold. So I think what we want to always do is everything really, really well. And always, for me, it's about making sure the patients remain at the heart of everything we do. We mustn't lose sight of the patient and making sure their experience is the best it can be.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's really exciting, really good. Sorry, I'm just fiddling with buttons here.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's really exciting and... it is a lovely place, as I said. So tell us now a bit more. You when you started talking to us, you kind of identified two or three roles you've got. Tell us, drill down into that. Tell us the different roles you've got and how come you got these different jobs.
Well, I'm a nurse.
Right,
so
okay.
I've been a nurse for 38 years, so I know I don't look it.
No, I was going to say, yeah, you got in there. You got in before me, Jane.
I saw how you spoke to him.
Oh, no, I wouldn't talk to you like that. No, I'd be really nice.
Thank you. So I used to work in the NHS, worked there for 20 years and then happened to see a job advertised in Kent, found out it was at Benenden Hospital, and I was born in Kent, so it was about coming home. Came as the director of nursing originally and then was lucky enough to become the hospital director in 2008, and I think during that time I've been able to sort of retain my nursing registration, and Benenden Healthcare Society recognised that they needed to have more clinical presence. So I've become their chief nurse as well, which gives me a national role, which is just wonderful, really. I mean, I'm a nurse through and through, so whatever title I have, the nurse is the most important bit for me.
Can I make an ooh matron joke now?
No, you can't.
Okay.
You can if you want to.
No, I wouldn't.
No, you can't.
No, all right. Ooh matron. Cool. So you've got this kind of dual role,
yes,
as it were, but they kind of fit nicely together.
Yeah,
absolutely. And how many patients do you handle as a hospital every year, roughly?
Well, it obviously varies slightly, but about 47,000 outpatients last year.
Oh, okay.
So about 8,000 operations, something like 17,000, 18,000 coming through our imaging department, so having x-rays and scans and stuff like that. So we're quite a busy hospital, and so we've significantly grown the number of people who come through our door.
Okay.
And your comment earlier about us sort of being a bit of a hidden secret in some ways was right, because when I first came to Benenden, the only way you knew where we were was there was a sign saying Chest Hospital.
Mm.
and that was left over from the TB days. Yeah. And that sign was only removed about 3 years ago.
I was going to say, nobody ever took the sign down.
No. Yeah. So I think everyone, when they still talk about Benenden, they say, do you work at the chest hospital?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I think it's a lot of work.
Can you stop coughing on me?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and we don't do TB nowadays.
Right.
People don't come to hospital for TB.
Right.
Very rarely.
It's not a very prevalent thing anymore, is it?
It's becoming more common than it was, but the treatment nowadays is primarily through tablets, and you have that at home. So
don't need
to come to us.
Cool. Well, Jan, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about Benenden, and I've lived near Benenden for donkey's years and not really known that much about it. The only reason I knew anything about it at all is my ex-mother-in-law was a member through the Civil Service Union, and that was the only reason that I knew it at all, apart from the signs that said chest hospital this way. So coming back to the premises themselves, you've just done all this expansion work.
Yes.
Do you have any plans in progress at the moment to do another phase, or are you kind of resting on your laurels right now?
At the moment, we're just sort of settling into, because we've only been in there a year, so we're settling into where we are and really getting to know that and work those facilities to the best we can. And for me, now is the focus is on the staff and the patients, and we've done the building works. So I don't want to do any more of that.
Absolutely. It's exciting doing it, isn't it? But it's horrible whilst it's going on, because, you know, it's just...
It was
horrible.
A slog. It was a really hard slog. Yeah. And the fact that you have to continue to deliver your services, you can't stop. You can't shut the hospital and say, we're not doing it this week.
Absolutely.
But it was great. And the staff, can I just say, the staff were phenomenal during that whole time. And they are phenomenal. And you've mentioned about charity work. And we support a charity each year. Mm. And this year, Porchlight.
So, Porchlight, yes, we know them, based in Canterbury.
So that's our charity, and some of us are going to brave and sleep out.
Are you doing the sleep out?
At the end of November.
Oh, good luck with that.
Then in July or August, that would have been a bit more.
It would have been much more sensible, Amanda, but no, we're doing the end of November, so anyone driving past on that night, please stop with a flask of hot chocolate.
Are you doing it in Canterbury at Dane John's, or are you doing
We're doing it at the hospital.
Oh, you're doing it at the hospital.
Sleep out at the hospital.
Okay. Well, that's handy.
Yes, if it all goes wrong.
You get a touch of hypothermia, you're all right, aren't you?
Absolutely right, yes.
Cool. Jane, thank you so much
for
that. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you continued success with the Benenden Hospital.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll have you back again in a couple of years' time to tell us more about where you've gone since then. But for the moment, Jane Abbott, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Cool. We're kind of approaching the half point in the show where we go over to the newsroom, but we're going to do some more tweets and emails. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk to our next guest.
Okay. I was just going to say, my mum and dad remember Benenden.
Are they?
They've never used it.
Right.
Oh, I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yes.
Cool.
My mum's friend used them a year or so ago and recommended to them that they sign up. So they have.
Right.
But they're in Bexley, and they used to think that down here was miles, well, down in Tenterden was miles away, but obviously now they know it's not quite so far.
Yeah.
But they haven't used it yet. Yeah. Like, you've got it there. Go to them.
But it is one of those things, isn't it? It's like any form of insurance. Yes. Yeah, you don't sign up because you want to use it. Mm. You sign up in case you have to use it, not because you want to use it.
No, but both of them have had health issues, and I said to them, "Look, well, you've got the Benenden. Phone them." And unfortunately, they're one of those. They want to have it there, as you say, as a peace of mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
But because I think they're a little unsure of how they can use it. My mum has chest problems, and she's had sinus and chest problems for years since she was young, and they just keep going round and round the houses and trying all these different things. And it's one of those things. She's 72. They may not ever cure it, and she's lived with this cough going on, and she's going through doctors again at the moment. I said, well, you've got your Benenden. Why don't you see if it's something they can help you with? And my dad had problems, but they've got it, but I think, I don't know. I don't think they're quite sure of how they can use it or when they can use it.
You do find that, though, don't you? You find that people, it's like people that have health insurance in general, like with Bupa or whatever. They take out this insurance. Well, I don't think I'll go to the doctors and do that.
Yeah. To my doctor instead. Yeah.
Well, why did you sign up for it then? Well, just to be safe.
Yeah. But you wouldn't do that with your car insurance or your home insurance. Exactly. You know what to do. And it's a bit sad, isn't it, that we don't put our own health on a par with that sort of insurance.
Yeah.
Really.
I think part of it is because we have the NHS, people kind of get very confused about health in this country.
Yes.
And I don't expect you to make any comment here. Mm. This is me having a mini rant.
Mm. What's that?
One of the problems is because so many people have no experience other than the NHS, they really don't see any alternatives to the NHS. Yes. You know, so if you try and talk to anybody about the NHS, they'll go, "Oh, America," yeah, as if that was the only other system in the world. And of course, it isn't by a long shot, and because nobody else has an NHS in the same way that we do. Although loads of countries have free at the point of use medical services, they're just not delivered by the government. Yeah. So it's the kind of conversation we never really have in this country about how to improve the NHS, because everybody goes, "You're trying to privatise it," when that isn't necessarily the case. What you're trying to do is have a conversation about how we make it better by looking at what other people do in other countries. But, of course, it throws a spanner in the works for anyone here that feels bad if they use their private health insurance. It's as if they're ratting on the NHS or something, when in fact it's the other way around, really, because they're saving the NHS some resources.
And I think that's such an important point, because actually if you look into countries like in Europe, where the mutual model, which is what we are, is the one that's widely in place, and no one has any problems with doing that. And, and I think we've got to recognise that actually healthcare has to change.
Yeah, it does. Simple it does. And it's not a question of privatising it.
No.
It's not a question of making everybody buy health insurance.
No, absolutely not.
It's just how you deliver it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Totally agree. Cool. I've got this. I'm going to read this.
Go on then.
This is something that's close to my heart as well. Complete change of subject. This is Young Enterprise. Okay, the Young Enterprise Company program in schools looks to provide a business mentor to a school team who set up a real company and trade for a year. A Young Enterprise are looking for business advisors and supporters to help in the Ashford and South Kent region. If you'd like to know more, please can you email the organiser, who is Trudy Hartridge. And Trudy's email address is Trudy, that's T-R-U-D-I-E, dot Hartridge, H-A-R-T-R-I-D-G-E, at y-e.org.uk. I'm involved with Young Enterprise in this region. I'm normally the chair of the judging panel on the regional competition. In the last couple of years, Kent-based schools have gone right the way to the top and won national awards with their companies. It's a fantastic scheme. It costs minuscule amounts of money for a school to run, and there are not enough schools entering. You really, if you are a governor at a school, make them enter, please. It is such a useful thing. The students adore it. They have great fun doing it. It's really brilliant experience. It's good stuff to put on their CV. And we've got some really, really talented young people, and we ought to set them free. So, but we're also looking for business mentors. So if you'd like to volunteer as a business mentor, please email Trudy. It is great fun. It doesn't take a huge amount of your time. And the students are brilliant, and they will listen to you. So do get involved, please.
Is that mentor or mentor?
Mentor.
Sorry, can't resist.
Thank you.
I've lost it now. I just saw a tweet and I was about to read it out, and now it's vanished.
You've lost it.
Did you? You know, I did see something the other day that Twitter was talking about taking away the like button.
I know. They're messing about with everything. If you do automated tweets, you're not allowed to mention anyone anymore. What's the point?
I know.
You can't put a mention in an automated tweet.
And only one hashtag.
Yeah, they've lost the plot.
They have lost the plot. Do you like networking?
I'm just reading a tweet from Steve here, actually. And agreeing with it. He said, "I'm sure you'll like the chili chocolate cake."
Yes, we got that for our launch tomorrow.
Have you?
Yeah.
Didn't bring any today?
No.
I would like it though.
It would look weird to slice out of it.
Well, after last week, I don't think you should be eating cake.
Really?
Yes.
What are you trying to say?
We were both on a diet this week.
We did eat rather a lot.
We did eat a lot.
I walked a lot last week, but I ate even more.
Yes.
Pancakes and maple syrup and bacon and stuff.
You know what? It amazed me. Okay, so you wonder why they may have a health problem in America. We go to Denny's for breakfast, and it was lovely, you know, pancakes and bacon and syrup breakfast. And then on the menu was T-bone steak and eggs for breakfast. Yeah. I had to take a picture of it. Not only that,
one of them was a deep-fried T-bone steak.
Yes.
So steak in batter.
I know.
For breakfast.
For breakfast. The things I had on
it was nice.
Well, you had a sizzle pan one morning.
I did have a sizzle pan. I did.
Yeah. I just had pancakes. I had pancakes with strawberries and banana and bacon and lots of maple syrup. It was very nice.
It was.
It was good.
But fattening.
Yes. And but I I averaged about 12,000 steps a day.
Yeah, I did 10.
Yeah.
Because I've got an injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Benenden are going to fix later.
Yeah. He's signing up this afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a tweet from Laura. Lawrence, yeah. She says, welcome back. Hope you remember how to use the studio. Yes, thank you for leaving it in a nice state, Laura.
Yes.
There is a little thank you for you, Laura, on the what do you call it, filing cabinet. I couldn't get what you really wanted, but I got the next best thing, I hope.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
And everyone's mind is boggling now. Yeah. What did you get, Laura?
And Laura says she is listening in from the office today. So thank you for doing that, Laura. We do appreciate it, and it was really good. And we were, funnily enough, talking about Denny's. We actually listened to you on the show while we were in Denny's having breakfast. Did we not?
Yeah, you made us listen to it. You're on holiday.
Yeah.
Switch off now.
I want to see what she's up to with my radio show.
He was getting up at 2 o'clock every morning just to do his morning tweet?
Yeah. Well, because he couldn't automate them anymore.
You're on holiday.
But
no social media. Turn it off.
Before I went away, she said, you're not tweeting while we're away. Fine. So I went, I signed up for an automation tool and I loaded it all up and all the rest of it. Not one of them tweeted. So I contacted the guy. Funnily enough, the company were in Florida. I contacted the guy and he went, nah, Twitter have changed the rules. You can't do any of that anymore. So I had to get up at 2 a.m. every morning and tweet. What was that all about?
You didn't have to.
Well, I did because I had to let you out of the cupboard.
Very funny. It's 2 o'clock. Should we play the news?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that.
On the hour, Channel Radio News Update.
Aircraft investigators say a plane that crashed in Indonesia had technical problems on a previous flight. All 189 passengers and crew are feared dead. It's believed the Lion Air 737 MAX plane had an airspeed issue, but the cause of the crash remains unknown. A house has been searched in the West Midlands in connection with the disappearance of Susie Lyon.